Good morning, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters, and I have with me Julie Haskins of GalacticConnection.com. And today is August 20th, 2013. My God, I cannot believe it's already August 20th. And we have five or six more days of this very intense ride with the Lion's Gate blowing wide open for each of us. And however that ends up manifesting in our lives is very different from person to person that I've spoken to. But what I thought I would do today is kind of go solo with Julie, because I'm throwing an event this weekend with the CE5 training. And frankly, things are just a bit hectic.
No kidding.
So how you doing, Julie?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. And this whole Lionsgate, I don't know how anyone else feels, but my migraines have been off the chart. So if anyone else is feeling that way, I think it's the energy's not helping at all.
Yeah, it's definitely intensifying.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of had a big aha from just returning from the 3-week mission that we did across country. And one of the things I realized was that we're so glorifying and just bathing ourselves in all of this amazing light that has not penetrated the planet for so long. And we tend to kind of see it outside ourselves. But in reality, it's so bathing us that we are like the little mushrooms, you know, sitting in the bottom of the, you know, and we're getting... And we're getting bathed with all of this light, and you know, whatever has been stuck, whatever has been a miscreation within our body, it is getting rocked and rolled.
I totally believe that, and have felt it on so many levels lately that I'm finally coming up for air. Thank goodness. And something is shifted.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And just from the essence work that I create,
true,
I really notice a common denominator amongst a lot of people is the past life layovers are just really accelerating.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, okay. They're really accelerating. So, you know, the body, as I've spoken before, I still tend to, yes, it's me, but it's not me. It's still its own separate entity. And I kind of give it its own individuality suggest that other people do too, because then maybe you might honor it a little bit better.
True.
And honestly, the body is just screaming to be released and to be unshackled, so to speak. You know?
Yeah. I'm finding some anger issues coming up, and I'm not generally an angry person by any means, and just kind of general like grumpiness too, and or why is this happening? And then I look back a day later and went, oh, why was that even a problem?
Right. And so, and that's very common that I'm hearing across the board with clients is they're having some challenges coping with a lot of the actually rage, you know,
rage.
Where they come up, that all this huge emotion comes up when they're at a store and somebody really did something that was inappropriate, and they normally could stay in composure, but they just want to punch them. You know?
Yeah. I get that. I mean, I work in a spa, and generally it's all good, it's all wonderful, but I've kind of blasted a couple people at work, then I don't do that for things that I feel were out of integrity from them.
Right.
And so that's way out of character, and I think I surprised a few people. So I totally understand that. It wasn't full on rage, because I don't think I have that in me. But for me to even speak harsh words was quite the difference in personality, and people noticed.
Yeah, I bet. Oof. Well, yeah. You know, we focus a lot on this sort of stuff, like on our ailments and on our misery. You know, we feel so tied down. We feel so not free. You know, we feel so trapped. We feel so stuck. I mean, overall, I'm just saying, you know, there's plenty of us that have done our work, and we get up every day and we're happy to be here, and we're happy to be of service, and we're happy to walk this beautiful planet. But with that said, we're also in a human body that is overwhelmingly receiving phenomenal huge amounts of data to the point where the body is so overwhelmed it doesn't know what to do with all this data. And most of it's toxic, by the way. So I had an aha moment this morning because you and I kind of threw this together because Craig, you know, had jury duty. And part of it was I realized that we are truly in the new renaissance. We are reliving the new up and coming golden age, and we refer to it so often, but we are actually in it. And the thing I wanted to say to people today was really try to inspire people to understand that those that are listening to me right now are the leaders and way showers of this new golden age, of this new renaissance. You know, it's like, what does renaissance mean? It means to be reborn, to rebirth. We are starting out. I remember Drenvalo, long ago, I was listening to one of his talks, and he was talking about, well, this is going to be kind of a rude awakening for a lot of people because we're going to be like infants. And I kind of thought, oh, that's interesting. Interesting word for him to choose. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we really are, because we have so much light at our disposal now. And we're not accustomed to not only having it available, but we're really not sure how to use it.
I totally agree.
And it's overwhelming to us. So there's feelings of overwhelm. There's feelings of frustration. And I think these are very unconscious feelings, by the way. I think we're so excited to be in this phenomenal light. And at the same time, we're not really sure where we're going. You know, we're like a newborn baby. We don't know what's going on tomorrow. Who's going to feed us? Who's going to bathe us? Who's going to change us?
Right.
You know,
that's true. That's
so
true.
I thought about that this morning where you know, if you look back to the Renaissance, which was between the periods of the 14th century and the 17th century, it was one of the most phenomenal times to be alive, even though it was also a very dark time to be alive. But you had people like Michelangelo and Botticelli, and Leonardo da Vinci, and Isaac Newton, and Johannes Kepler, William Shakespeare, Francis Bacon, Copernicus, Christopher Columbus, Francis Drake, John Cabot. I mean, these were just phenomenal way showers of that period, and it really set the stage for the period we're going into. So I really want people to think today that you have the in. You have the opening. You have the, you're at the right place at the right time and with the right skills, whether you think you do or not, to be one of these great masters on the planet. How exciting is that? I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, no kidding. We just have to realize that and plan, not plan accordingly, but
just be.
Ooh, yeah, just be accordingly too.
You know?
Oh, but it's really hard when you're being bombarded to try to plan something more uplifting when your body is screaming at you, no, you're going to lay down right now. It's like, no, but I have the Renaissance to take care of. But no.
Well, and that's another thing I was going to talk about. That,
yeah.
You know, I had all these realizations on the trip, and part of it was about my body because it's gone through so much pain and anguish from the accident I went through, and I really have begun to look at it separately because I am not my body. I am not my body. I am a way bigger field of energy than my body, and I'm now fully experiencing that. Like, I knew that, I intellectualized that, I could talk to people about that, but because of what happened to me on this trip, I now get it. I now am it. And, you know, the Renaissance is all about freedom and being inventive in whatever experience you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that requires new thought. That requires a new way of thinking. That is the obligation to each of ourselves to wake up each day and try to see things and think about things in a different way. Because we can think differently. this new reality. We create this reality by how we think it. And if we think it in a new way, so I mean, what would happen for me today if I got up and I thought on a very continual basis, which is work, right? I mean, you have to really kind of concentrate and allow all those other thoughts not to take over, that, you know, I'm fully taken care of financially, that I'm exactly where I want to be, that I've got the City of Light built, that, you know, that I'm assisting as many people as I can. I mean, whatever my dreams and wishes are, what if I was to think that every day? You know, what the Ascended Masters tell me on a regular basis is there's so much coming to us. There's so much available for us. And yet we don't see it or think it. We're still in that intellectualized state of, wow, I feel good and these are cool energies and yeah, I'm going to go meditate. Do you know what I'm saying? There's like a gap. There's like a gap between really knowing, really in your knowingness that you truly are a master.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, it's just, wow, it's so profound. So, you know, back in the time of the Renaissance, you had some of the most phenomenal artists and composers, mathematicians, authors, philosophers, composers, I'm sorry, I said that again, dancers, and explorers. And the thing that's cool is, like, do you guys remember when you were growing up and you said to your parents, wow, I really want to become a painter? And your parents looked at you like, are you crazy? That's not going to make you any money. How are you going to put food on your table? That's not going to give you stability. You know, that's not going to support you with a stable income. Well, guess what? I mean, we are now in a time where the universe is meeting us with what we want to create and just explode with our joy and our multidimensionality. And it's so difficult to explain, but this is one of the things that happened to me. I mean, when we took off, Julie, I am not kidding when I say all I did was get a message, and it was so clear and so loud that the time had come to go do.
To go.
Yeah, to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
I remember.
And I didn't have any time to research it. I didn't have any time to think about it. I was so busy. And when it went, by the time we got in the car, we didn't know. It was really an incredible experience. We had no inkling where we were going, what we were doing, what the purpose was even. Because I really didn't even have that much time at that time to kind of tap in and you know, meditate or whatever. And it was an incredible training ground to truly be in an extended period of time in the reality of oneness with just time and life and space, everything around me. So I tend to be very good about connecting the dots with things. But I'll tell you what, on this trip, I saw everything connecting with everything. It was
beautiful.
It was an incredible experience. It was like there was no question mark. You know, I mean, it was bizarre. Like, we would stop, you know, hey, wow, I think we better stop and get gasoline here. Okay. And we'd pull off to the side of the road and, you know, nothing else was thought of. And sure enough, we'd pull right up next to, say, a billboard.
Okay.
And it would have some sign like, you're going the right way. You know, I mean, things like that. It was incredible. What I'm saying to everyone is we're so used to being in a period of obscurity, in a period of dormancy, in a dark, dense, you know, not enlightened experience. And I don't mean that to say each of us is not enlightened. No. What I mean is we have not had the beauty of being bathed with these incredible energies.
Well, plus we find ourselves scheduling ourselves. We have to be up at 8. We have to be out the door by 9. We have lunch at 12. We get home at 5, 5:30, 6. So we don't have the freedom of letting our days be our days.
Right, right.
And that's what it sounds like so far that you've found on your trip. You just let things happen and you just be there. You just lived.
Well,
without expectation.
Interesting you say that, because that was pretty challenging at first with 4 dogs in the car. Okay.
Well, that was part of the initiation.
Big time was part of the initiation. And all I could think of is, okay, here I am. I'm driving across country in the heat of the summer. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, oh my God, my dogs could burn up in the car. And you know, where are we going to find enough shade? And, you know, are they going to have enough? I mean, it was just crazy. And at one point, I had one of my guides come in and say, "Do you not understand what a contract is?"
True.
And I said, "Yeah, I understand what a contract is." And he says, "Apparently, you do not." And I said, "Okay." He says, "Do you understand that part of the contract that you made was that everyone would be well, including those you care and love? And if that did not happen, then the contract would be negated." That was the word they used. And I went, "Oh, wow, you're right." You know, and then I realized like everything just flowed and you know, everywhere we went, the dogs were taken care of. And I was blown away that no motel that we stayed at questioned us that we had 4 dogs.
4 dogs.
That we were
excellent.
Walking, you know, how many times a day. It mm-hmm. was just amazing. I think I told you that I just posted a picture and I was so floored by it because I was taking all these pictures of clouds and everything. And then when I started writing the articles every Tuesday about the trip, I could not believe this huge face of a galactic. You know, the clouds. I mean, it was just so obvious.
I know. I've been waiting for pictures from you. I have to tell everyone that this is pretty much the first time I've heard about this trip. Alexandra's been so busy that I've heard just little things here and there, and the Black Panther that went across our path, and just a few little stories. But I tracked her the entire way. I GPS'd her on my phone, so I knew exactly where she was in case she got lost and disappeared. So I kind of was in essence with her on the trip, even though I didn't know what the heck she was doing each day. But so...
That was really cool to know that people could see where we were driving.
Yeah, and we all sent you like loving energy as you were on your way. There was at least 2 of us tracking you.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you definitely upped your survival skills by doing the 4 dogs thing. So I think that will come in handy one day.
Yes. It will. And you know, they were completely different when they got home.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, even they were different. They shifted. Well, because they were with us at each of the ceremonies and activations.
And
so they were affected by those energies as well.
Yeah.
I
think if all of us went on a mission, it would greatly improve our lives and our clarity as well.
Yes.
I think that's maybe not as long as you did, but I think if each of us just took even a 4-day mission to where am I going and just end up there, I think a lot of ahas would be happening from that.
Yeah, and I have to say too, you know, you guys have to know that, you know, I'm not at this exact moment in time ringing in the money. And when this call came in and I'm being told you've got to drive across country, I'm thinking, are you nuts?
I remember.
How am I going to afford this? You know,
I think I had to say, get your pants on and just go.
Exactly.
Get in the car. Go.
But it's really all about, I mean, wow. I felt that I had learned surrender from being in bed for 3 years, but this was a different kind of surrender.
Absolutely.
And just knowing that we're all so taken care of. And what really gets in the way is that we think we need to take care of ourselves. We think we have to watch our backs. We think we're the ones that have to arrange and schedule and perform. And really, it's kind of like all we have to do is show up and have the intention and come from our heart,
Yeah,
and it all falls into place, you know.
yeah, yeah. I learned that on a different scale when I walked the Camino in Spain. Every day we left the little comfort of our little dormitory to go to another one and just let life be. We made up a saint called Saint Goodness, and we would just ask him, "Oh, Saint Goodness, bring us something quite delicious today." Every time we got something new to eat. We have wonderful coffee, wonderful people. So that's what we did too. We just let it go and let it happen, and it was a fabulous trip. Even when you ran across someone who wasn't quite the nicest, kind of a stinker kind of person, it took us about a day, and then we were friends with them. So the Camino had its own magic as well. So I kind of learned that lesson too of letting go and letting be, and just be excited when something happens.
And it's the small little things, keeping
Absolutely.
yourself aware, like having your
Yes.
radar at top notch. And in fact, I also think, you'd said something before. It's really important. We tend to separate ourselves from this reality, especially when we've done a lot of work on ourselves, because there is so much, pain and suffering and hostility and atrocities and war and, all that.
Yes.
And yet we are that. So it's like once we recognize, and I'm not saying that our personality is that, I'm not saying, it's like we got to get our egos out of the way and recognize that, it's all in the way that we see it. Like while I was traveling through, I finally realized that I had fully stepped out of my third dimensional reality. I was no longer in it. And I think that was the greatest gift given to me, was that I was able to maintain it for 3 weeks,
Oh, beautiful.
and not drop in and out. You
Right.
know, I was pretty much, even if I went to a store, I was still like in that place. And it seemed like because of that, everything just flowed and everything was great. And, the car ran really well and it didn't overheat. We found gas when we needed to. And I mean, I got to tell you this story. This is the funniest story. We were in a small little dinky town in Tennessee, and it was late, late, late at night. We were tired. It had been a long day. And we were going to look at a property, and I'm driving along, and it's pitch black, right? And Steve's looking at the directions, and he's like, "Okay, turn right there," And all of a sudden, I see blue lights, and I'm going, "Oh my God, I must have been speeding!" Oh, "Oh, this is great," because the first thing I'm thinking is, these cops over here, they're probably really hardcore. Because
Okay.
they could be like sheriffs, they don't have much to do, because the town's got maybe a quarter of a mile in distance, So anyway, he pulls me over, and I said, "Hello, officer, can I ask you what I was doing wrong?" And he said, "Yeah," he says, "you were going like 55 in a 30-mile zone." And I said, "Oh wow," I said, "I didn't see the sign." And he just looked at me, he says, "Well, of course you didn't." He says, "You're from out of town. You're not from this town." And I just kind of looked at him, and he says, "Where are you guys trying to go?" And the next thing I know, we're trying to explain to him where we're going and everything. So I'm not kidding. He actually spent, I mean, he must have spent a half hour trying to give us directions of how to cut off 4 miles because he could tell that we were so tired. I mean, unbelievable. So we get back on the road and we follow these directions that he gives us, and it's pitch black. So it's very difficult to see the signs or anything. All of a sudden, the blue lights come up again. And I'm going, "Oh my God, was I speeding again?" And he pulls me over and he says, "Hi, listen, I just realized I gave you the wrong directions."
Oh no.
He says, I was really concerned that you weren't going to find that place, so I'm going to give you a different set of directions this time.
Oh no.
So he gives us the directions, and we're like, oh, thank you for being so nice. He says, well, I just want to make sure we take care of you. So, we go, we do our thing, we find the place, and then we realize we need to stay in a motel. So that was the closest town. So we had to backtrack and drive all the way back there because it was so late at night. It was about 10:30 at night. And so we come back, and by now he knows we have four cars. Now we don't think we're ever going to see that guy again, but we, boom. Sue says, you know what? I have a half a tank of gas, but because we're in the middle of nowhere, we probably should fill up for tomorrow morning. Now this is what I mean. We pull into this gas station. Who's sitting there, standing on top of his car? The same sheriff that pulled us over twice. I mean, amazing.
Standing on his car.
He was standing up against his car, just
Oh,
kind
up
of
against the
drinking a
car.
coffee, drinking a cup of
Okay.
coffee, and he
Okay.
was, BSing with his
I thought
local.
maybe he was standing on the hood looking for you.
Yeah, right. And so he is as surprised as we are, right? And he looks at us, and he says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, guess what?" So we tell him the whole story, and we're freaking out because we're in the middle of nowhere, and the chances of finding a motel in a very small town like that are slim to none.
Absolutely.
And we looked at the map, and we were going, "Oh God, another 50 miles, and it's 11 o'clock at night,"
Oh, no.
and we're tired, and we've been driving all day. So he makes three phone calls,
Oh.
and by the third phone call, I'm not kidding, he says, "Okay, it ain't the Ritz or nothing, but it'll do. And
Oh
he'll
my
take your
gosh.
four dogs." And I said, "Is he going to charge us per dog?" "Nope, we got that all taken care of. You just go up to the front desk." He says, "In fact, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and escort you over there so you don't get lost."
Oh my God.
I know. So we get over there, and the guy's waiting for us at the door because, the sheriff, the I think he was a sheriff, calls ahead of time. And they put us in this room. Now, granted, it was not the Ritz by any means, but it was amazing because, we had the four dogs. It wasn't a problem. They didn't charge extra. And in fact, they gave us a really good rate because we knew the sheriff.
Oh my gosh.
So that's what I mean. And the next day, what it did was it allowed us, when you look back, Spirit wanted us to do work in that area. There was work to be done, so we
Yes.
needed to be able to plant ourselves, unload our car, get our dogs settled, feed them, whatever. And so you look back on it, and everything, I don't know, there is such a thing as destiny in some ways.
Yes, yeah, there is. You kept trying to get out and you kept circling back, kind of. It's like,
Right.
no, you can't go.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Sheriff's got eyes. Yeah, there he is again.
Yeah. And at one point all the people that I met were just magical. Every one of them had either a story or a piece of information to fill the holes of the question marks that we constantly
Oh my
had.
gosh.
It's like, okay, why are we here?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
And that's why I brought up the Renaissance, because one of the most magnificent things that came through was we were definitely doing a heavy amount of work in removing, and I saw it leave, it was phenomenal, removing this very, very dense layer of anguish and pain and suffering and torment on the part of the American Indians. And also we removed a lot of the Civil War stuff that had been laying over in that area. And because of our background and our prior lifetimes and who we are, we were called to go specifically to Arkansas because that is the bed of Atlantis. And it was an honor to be able to work as much as we did there because it was like going home. We didn't want to leave. And folks, let me tell you, I've never been to Arkansas, but I can tell you right now. It was not like on the top of my list of states that I would say, "Hey, Julie, let's go take a vacation. Let's go to
Go to
Arkansas."
Arkansas.
So
only because, well, my family is from there, so I am familiar with Arkansas, and it's just a phenomenally beautiful state. It's just amazing, but it's not billed as a tourist spot, but
no.
it kind of should be because there's some just one just because it doesn't have a beach doesn't mean it's not fabulous there.
No, it is fabulous, and I think what blew our minds was there was such an obviousness that a layer, a shield, I actually kind of saw an etheric shielding that had been placed over this area to protect the buried crystals. I
Fabulous.
really got it because everywhere we drove, we were like one of the only people there. And I kept saying, this is so beautiful. It's so untouched. It's so uncivilized. It's so undeveloped. I kept saying to Steve, my God, I cannot believe a development company did not come in here. We would walk down pathways and even driving down these gravel roads, we were driving on top of crystals.
Amazing.
I mean, you would like kind of shush your foot back and forth and lean down and just kind of take a handful of dirt with the crystals in your hand, and you'd look through and there would be clear crystals.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, everywhere. It was,
Goodness.
and
That's
so
amazing.
yeah, it's a very, very special place, and I now know that this will be where we will be starting this one of the City of Lights. There's no question about it.
Nice,
There's work
nice.
to be done, and one of the other things we've received a message on is to bring forth the Atlantean wisdom, because all of us that are here, most of us in one way, shape, or form have experienced that catastrophe. We hold it in our cellular memory. In fact, it's one of the things that has impeded us. Yeah, because it's so devastating what happened. And
True.
many of us that were involved, we still hold that scar, kind of that badge of, oh, I'm a no-no. I'm a bad person because either I escaped but everybody else didn't. Or, especially if you think that we're all holistically involved, we're all part of each other. Can you imagine even those that got on a boat and escaped, those that were able to leave early on? Can you imagine the immense amount of guilt that comes forth when what was it? I mean, how many millions of people? What, 20, 24 million people or something?
Oh,
Died at the time of Atlantis. So we are kind of like a walking historical blueprint, is kind of what I saw. We carry that memory. And so we did a lot of work on that, just really trying to clear that and open things up. It's very interesting. I will be writing about this later, but it was very interesting on some of the very intense activations that we did. I would notice on some of the blogging that I was looking at that the next day afterwards, somebody would write in and go, my God, did you feel the wave today? And I thought it was really interesting because there wasn't a CME, it wasn't necessarily a moon. And I thought, wow,
It's what we did.
Yeah, it's what we did, and it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to take, not responsibility, but to say, wow, was I part of that?
True, true.
But
There's no way to prove it other than
right.
how you feel in your heart.
Right. So we blew open a lot of stuff, and we blew open a lot of stuff for the community so that everybody can remember who they are. Because we want to get her done, get the show on the road, have everybody standing in their power and their truth and their glory.
Get your pants on and go take care of business.
Exactly.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
But
So.
I think everyone, like I said before, everyone should just take that time and go on a little mission. just find yourself, find the magic, find the Saint Goodnesses that are here, not just in Spain. I call him Saint Goodness all the time, and he comes through. You know, it's just figurative, but it's still part of me that's just letting go. I give it over to Saint Goodness.
Right.
And it works.
And also, when you do that, mm-hmm. the universe will surprise you, because all the people will be ready and lined up to meet you at mm-hmm. at the appropriate times, at the appropriate places.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, we met a wonderful lady named Julie, another Julie.
Oh, yes.
And she is without a doubt one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met about crystals. And before that, I had been looking at crystals at another place, and took a double took on this crystal, and double took. And you know, I'm looking at this crystal, and I could not put it down. And I have a lot of crystals, so you know, that was kind of interesting.
Yes.
That I was.
Yes. I'll verify that she has a yard full of crystals.
And so it was very interesting, because by the time we got done, she gifted this crystal to me, and she says, this is a very special crystal. It's called a golden healer. And I said, oh, cool. I'm so excited. Well, then, you know, I happened to show it to Julie, and I have a whole recording on what she found in that crystal. I was floored. Oh. She says, do you know how rare this thing is?
Oh.
I mean, it's just incredible. And in a nutshell, it also was a sign and an omen to me that I'm a record keeper for Atlantis, and that I'm here to bring forth that information. It's also a transmitter and a receiver crystal. It also has gold and silver in it. And I didn't, you know, not that I didn't believe her, but she says, you do realize that there's sacred geometrical shapes all over this. I said, nah, I didn't see any, you know, show me. I want to see with my own two eyes. And I was just blown away that there were little pyramids all over one face of this crystal.
Oh, goodness.
And so it got me to really start reading up again about crystals and how they have a consciousness, but they're also multidimensional. So they're not residing in matter 3D reality only. That's the part that really, wow, you know?
Yeah.
They are really, truly talking to you if you choose to pay attention to that. So I recommend that everybody go out and get a crystal.
I do. Did she happen to look at the crystal that I lent you?
I didn't show that to her, but, you know, she's invited me to come back at the end of September, and I'm thinking about going there.
Okay.
To meet up with Pam. So.
Yeah. Well, a year ago, I had gone to a sound healing school up in San Francisco with David Gibson, who's also on BBS Radio. I highly recommend you listen to him. But anyway, at the school, this wonderful kid showed up, kid 18, 19 years old. He was from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and he had brought a box full of crystals to sell at the school so he could have lunch money. And I picked out this one, and I knew that Alexandra needed to take it with her on the hot springs trip to kind of not take it home, but as a guiding thing. Now, do you have any stories on how this little crystal helped you out?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I don't know if I told you this, but because I know I haven't talked to you very
yeah.
much since I came home.
This is true.
But one of the activations, oh God, this one activation was so over the top. I'm about to write about it. But at one point, when we were doing our thing, Julie is into bees, by the way, if anybody
yes.
does not know that. Julie is a beekeeper, and she's very passionate about it, and she's really learned a lot. She has her own bees and everything. And so she had a little bee on top of this crystal, too. She had put a little bee sticker, which I just chuckled about. So we used that. And in the center of the vortex. And it was amazing, Julie, because a bee came in and landed on both Steve and myself at the time that we that we opened up the gates, so to speak.
Nice.
And they just sat there.
Wow.
And then they participated, and then they took off.
Okay. I believe that. They have an interesting intelligence, those little girls. They
They
just
do.
do.
Well, bees are very sacred.
Oh,
They
absolutely.
go way back.
Absolutely. I really enjoy having them, even though, well, we won't go into my little struggles with the bees, but it is a challenge to keep bees. But I do love them from afar right now because they're kind of ornery, but that's what's going on.
You're so funny.
They're really ornery.
So back to the Renaissance. I think we are at a place where all that we are doing is new, even if we don't realize it. But can you imagine if we bring forth that new thought with the ultimate intention of peace, unity, harmony, and freedom?
Absolutely.
You know, and almost I would challenge everyone, I'm going to try to do the same thing, is that every day that we create a mantra that says, I am peace, unity, harmony, and freedom. I am peace, unity, harmony, and freedom. And abundant. Well, I don't like the word abundance.
I know, it's kind of overused,
Yeah,
but
but it can be abundance of poverty too. See what I mean?
true, absolutely. It,
So.
there's to think of a comparable word is difficult because I haven't come up with one yet.
Yeah.
Your
R
cup is full.
riches,
Your cup
riches.
is full of wonderfulness. Your cup
Yeah.
is, you just
Well, all
don't need.
everything you need is met. You know, all your needs are met, basically.
Like the magic bag of tricks.
Right.
Felix's bag, whatever you need is there.
Yeah, so it's very important for us to understand. I mean, I think that's what I keep trying to say to everybody I work with. It's very important for us to understand how pivotal of a time this is and how much we really, really are making a difference in our new reality. It is up to those of us that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, which is the trailblazers, this is the way showers, the leaders, the thought provokers. We are the ones leading the way to the new Jerusalem, to the new golden age. And folks, the new Jerusalem is in the USA. It is going to start here. That does not mean that the rest of the world is not part of it. I'm just saying this is why we are right at the brink. This is just my opinion for whatever it's worth, but I feel like we are right at the brink of a massive change if people get off their couch here in the US. You see countless protests all over the world. They're in Asia. They're even in Australia, not as much. There are a lot in Europe and in the Mid East and South America. You see them a lot. And where do you not see them?
Well, we're not really physically protesting here. I think a lot of our protesting, though, is through paperwork, over the internet, through knowledge. Things are
True.
and our behaviors, and we are changing the way we eat. We're growing our own food. We're having bees in our backyard. I think our protests are a little more passive than just getting out into the street because most of us have the jobs, they have the things, and what street do we get out in? Oh my God, every city has issues. What, there's so many issues. How do you pick one?
But you got to start somewhere, Julie,
I know that you have to
you
pick
know?
your battle. You have to
Yeah.
pick your battle.
And
For
it's
me, it's
just
bees and
right.
a few other things. So, but I don't need to protest in the street to change things happening with bees.
But what I'm saying is, and remember, a protest does not have to be, by the way, everybody, protest is not synonymous with, you know, bloodshed
No,
or
but
hostility or rage or anything like that. But how much power was created? How much clearing? How much of an overlay of a reprogramming of the grid was created at the time Egypt got 16 million people together and said, enough's enough, Morsi, you're out. What happened etherically at that point when all of those people were standing in the street together? You cannot compare that to each and every one of us inside each of our individual homes, in our lives, in our, you know, in our realities. It's just not the same. So I would love to see us begin uniting for those causes that we feel are the most important, such as getting rid of Monsanto. I mean, that's like, to me, that's probably the number one, because they're the ones that are creating the GMO. They're the ones that are they're definitely behind the chemtrailing. You know, I mean, they're involved in all of it.
Yes.
And if there's anyone out there that hears this, if you want help from me to coordinate an event like that, I'm sign me up. I just can't do it alone, and I've got a lot on my plate. So I need
True.
help.
True.
I need help, guys. So, seriously, I just think the time has come that we need to take action, and that action needs to be in a unified way instead of a singular way. I mean, that was the thing about the Renaissance that was so amazing, was that, you know how we have like our internet cafes, you know, where everybody kind of goes to one central location and they all have tea and they chit chat and they blog or whatever.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's kind of like the step towards what was going on in the Renaissance period, because they had
Oh.
many chat you know, groups. They would get along, and they would get together in these groups, and they would think about how they could change the world. And
Yeah.
they would really work on how could they, you know, bring forth a new thought, a new way of thinking.
Okay.
And that think tank approach is so imperative today. And I know
Yeah.
there's a ton of us doing it. I mean,
Absolutely. I mean, even Facebook is that way. At least for me, I've massaged the posts that I get to those people I'm really interested in. And that's where the new thought's coming in. Someone will come up with an idea, and you'll either accept it and follow it, or just say, oh no, that was good, but not for me. But there's so much great information coming in through there, at least for me.
Right.
That is a think tank, along with, like, say, just hanging out at the local coffee shop and talking to the people who come in. We've started doing that once a week on Thursdays just to get a flow going, and it's really starting to happen. We're meeting people, talking about our ideas.
Yeah, it's really important.
It's kind of making a commitment to be somewhere at the same time every week so that energetically you can start pulling people in, because it goes out into the ethers, and somewhere say, I think I'm going to go down to that coffee shop today, and then bam, you've got a new friend.
Well, and on top of that, Julie, you're basically counteracting the program that we've all gotten in a big way of isolation. And
Absolutely.
if people do not wake up to the reality that that was probably one of the most deliberate
It
program
was.
grids to keep us all separate and singular, this is why we don't say hello to our neighbors. This is why we're so busy and caught up in our realities. That's a program. That's a
It
program. It's not the
I
way
believe that.
we've been designed,
No,
you know.
not at all. Not at all.
So hopefully this is all beginning. And, you know, we are at the beginning stages. We are just starting out. But what I challenge people to remember is that you always got to start somewhere, and we can determine how easy this goes, how quickly this goes, and how fulfilling this is. We determine that. It's not outside of us anymore. We have the tools to do it. So I as you can see, I just had a lot of time, you know, driving in the car, what did we drive? 5,600 and
Oh,
something miles, and
something crazy.
yeah,
I
three
haven't.
weeks as we were clearing areas. You know,
I haven't run the report on you in my phone of where you went.
was a lot.
Oh, yes.
And it was interesting too. I mean, I actually clairvoyantly saw, you know, a lot of Civil War. I actually saw the Civil War, so it was really interesting. I was melding into other timelines. When I traveled through certain areas, because the layover was so heavy. You know what I mean? It was just so heavy.
Yeah,
The
absolutely.
activations were very emotional because I was releasing the pain and sorrow of all of those that had passed before us. So, I did my bit. It's very interesting. I had somebody write in to me, and I thought the same thing. Kuila Pelli is driving around the United States,
Oh,
and I thought it
yeah.
was very fascinating that we both got called pretty much at the same time. He started a little bit earlier than me,
Okay.
but same kind of thing. He was told the same thing I was, which is just wherever we drive, we're actually clearing that field and extracting the density. So,
Yeah, who knows how many other people are out on missions right now that we just don't know about.
absolutely, absolutely. Oh, there's a great deal of us that are doing this work, and that's the exciting part, is because of all the work that's been done in the past and all that we've been doing, we are in such a phenomenal place right now to just blow open. I listened to Cobra's interview with me, because a lot of times when I'm in my interview, I don't really hear myself. And I heard him say that as of September 1st, the resistance would have an ability to move forward on particular things.
Okay.
Now, that sounds really promising to me.
It
I don't know
does.
about you, but that sounds like we've got a really exciting September, and it's got to be easier than this month. This has been a pretty, I feel like the reason why some people are really having a tough time this month is because we're integrating.
That's possible because I've been down for the count, so I've been integrating a lot in my sleep, I guess.
Yeah, we're
Yeah,
integrating.
it's been a horrible month physically for me.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
not.
so, but that takes into account why. I mean, you need to process. You're going to get knocked down if you don't stop and process consciously. You're be forced to.
Right. That's
Yeah.
true. So anyway, that was it. I don't know if there's anything
That's
else.
huge. Well, we're going to have to probably do a part two to this because we haven't heard about all 3 weeks. I think we've only heard about a couple of days today on your adventures. But you are blogging about it. Now I know you have two posts so far, full posts on that, don't you?
Yes, the now
Okay.
this next one's going to be really juicy.
Okay. Okay.
And I'll be talking about one of the very first mind-blowing experiences that we had.
Okay. Oh, good. Which now I don't know in the audience, if you haven't liked our Facebook page, please do. It's Galactic Connection. That's where I post where Alexandra, her next segment, I'll post there so that you'll be notified to go there and look at it. So you don't have to check the daily blog page every day unless you want to, which is a fabulous thing to do as well. So yeah, please like our Facebook page.
And I do really want to thank everyone for their support and their donations. Please, please continue to send them in, because this is what I do, and it's not, I'm not getting rich by any means. But
Yes.
I'm here to serve, and I'm here to assist, and the donations definitely help. So anyway, with that said, it's up to you, Jules, if you wanted to talk about anything
No,
else.
we're fabulous.
Okay.
We're fabulous.
We've got the SERPER conference starting Thursday. If there's any last minute people
Yeah.
that want to jump in,
Joshua Tree. We have ads blasted everywhere on the website and in the newsletters, and we do have open spaces. And it's going to be the closer it gets, the
that's
more excited I get. Now that I'm here, what all we're going to do? We're going to have night vision goggles. We're going to have all these things while we're sky watching. It's just going to be phenomenal. Not to mention
Yeah.
the meditations, the unity, the oof, I don't know. I highly recommend anyone, if you have these next 4 days off, let's go. We're going to
Yeah.
be there.
It's a good deal, because you're really, for those of you that are searching to step into your mastery, this is a great
This
way
is
to
it.
kick start it, because Martin is offering one-on-one
Absolutely.
time with everybody.
Yes.
So that's huge. But I think the other thing too that I really got yesterday was he said to me, you know, in his very nice, beautiful British accent, he says, you know, Alexandra, please make sure I have my downtime because I have to hold the energetic space for this.
Oh, true.
And I thought, wow, you know, I didn't really think of it that way, you know. And so anyway, it's going to be very powerful. We've got a lot of really cool people coming and flying in from, gosh, we've got somebody from Michigan, somebody from Rhode Island, somebody from two people from Northern California. I mean, there's people coming in from all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be a phenomenal experience, and the next one won't be quite as intimate. I mean, we have a good group of people here, so if you're looking, like Alexander mentions, the one-on-one, this is the time. Yes, and get to know us because we will be there. We'll be there. Now,
So,
would we take someone if they just showed up in Joshua Tree on Thursday?
yes,
Okay.
we can do that.
There will be some forms you'd have to fill out, naturally, non-disclosures, things like that. But if you want to show up, go to the front desk, ask them where we are. Now we're staying in Noble Hall, correct? Okay. So
Yes.
you're welcome to come in.
Yeah, the registration will be at the Noble Hall. So anyway, I want to thank everybody and can't wait to tell you guys the rest of my story, which is just so long that it's going to take a while.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll do the fill-ins.
Yeah. But I wish everybody the best. And again, please consider what I'm saying, that whatever you're doing, challenge yourself to think in a new way. Even if things are working really well for you, just inspire yourself to see or think or perceive something in a new way. And that will carry on throughout the planet. So, anyway, Jules, I want to thank you
Okay.
again. I want everybody to know and just send Julie kudos for sponsoring me on BBS Radio. She's the one that kicked me in the butt to do
Put
this.
your pants on and get on the radio.
And
Thank
so
you.
I cannot function without her. It's like I can't. I could barely function, let alone without her.
You should have taken me on the trip. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. There wasn't any room for me with the four dogs.
Yeah. No, there was no room. That's true. No kidding.
Okay, but thank you. And it's been a pleasure.
Okay. Yes. Thank
And
you. And everyone have a wonderful rest of the Lionsgate energy time frame. And
yes.
we will see you on the other side next Tuesday, where I have a slew of very cool guests coming up. Oh my God.
Excellent.
Some
Okay.
incredible people coming on. Okay, so everybody take care. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. Love you guys.